Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Grove. Hey, so thankful for each of you, and I hate to break this fellowship time up, but we've got an exciting treat for you this morning. I was just reminiscing with Marquis a little bit before the service, and we met, I think it was the early first quarter of 1999, and I think he was dating his soon-to-be wife at that time, Therese, and I can remember him talking to Carla about Therese, and Carla saying, "You got to just get going, just marry this gal, come on." But by God's grace, they got married, they have three children. I think shortly after that, came to work with the Sign Ministries and Sola Scriptura, and came down here to Florida with us and Dean and the things that we're doing at the Scriptorium. So if you go to the Scriptorium and you are walking through the exhibit, you will hear Marquis's voice as he did the narration for the Scriptorium. You'll see him on the little screen outside, much younger, no gray hair, but that's okay. But here's something really interesting about Marquis that I think you'll enjoy. If you have Bible Gateway app, anybody have the Gateway app? And if you listen to the ESV, Marquis is the voice of the ESV translation. And so it's just a nice honor. But this morning, a number of months ago, we heard that Marquis was going to be in town and said, "Hey, could we piggyback off of one of your events? And it'd be really great to have you on Sunday morning with us." We're going to be doing this battleground series where real life struggles intersect with biblical battles. And last week, Jason taught out of Daniel chapter 3. And it's so great to have Marquis come with us and share the first six chapters of Daniel. And I think you will be blessed by this in a way that maybe you just don't always just open the Word of God and read through it with emphasis on the way it's supposed to be emphasized. And every time I've heard Marquis do what he does, it's such a blessing to hear God's Word presented in that way. And so this morning, we're going to welcome him in a moment. But here's the one thing I would say to you. And Marquis would certainly give me permission. They have three wonderful children, and they're raising them to know the Lord. God has gifted him with an ability to remember the text of God's Word, but it's come with hard work. And what I don't want you to do this morning is walk away and say, "That's an amazing guy. What a talent." What I want us to walk away with is, what an amazing God that would equip an amazing man to give his life to devoting himself to delighting and meditating on the Word of God, so that he could present it in such a way that we could hear it and glean from it and be blessed by that this morning. So let's do this. Will you give a warm Grove welcome to Marquis Lofton, my good friend?
In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. Now these he put in the temple of his God in Babylonia, and into the treasure house of his God. Then the king summoned Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials. "Bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace." He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. Now the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then after that they were to enter the king's service. Now among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord, the king, who's assigned your food and drink. Why should this king see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please, test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Now to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Now at the end of the time set by the king, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. Now in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them to be 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Now in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners to be brought. And he said to these wise men of Babylon, "I've had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." The astrologers replied to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and explain it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and interpret it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more, the astrologers replied to the king, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king said to the astrologers, "I'm certain that you are trying to gain time, because you realize that this is what I firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me wicked and misleading things, hoping the situation will change. So tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologer said to the king, "But there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any enchanter, astrologer, or diviner. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king, except the gods. And they do not live among men." Well, this made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death. And men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Now when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and he asked him for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned home to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed along with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, Praise be to the name of God who lives forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have made known to us what we ask of you. You have given us wisdom and power. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Well, Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king said to Daniel, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied to the king, "No magician, enchanter, astrologer, or diviner can reveal to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions you saw while lying on your bed are these. As you were lying on your bed, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation, and so that you may understand what went through your mind. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. Now, while you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them to pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Oh, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and might and glory and power. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. Now after you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. And then finally, there'll be a fourth kingdom, as strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes things. And as iron breaks and smashes things, so it will crush and break all the others. Now, just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of iron and partly of baked clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And even as the iron was mixed with the baked clay, so its people will be a mixture. Yet they will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. Now, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. But it itself will endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. The rock that struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed into pieces. See, the great God has shown the king what will happen in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Daniel of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to assemble for the dedication of the image of gold that he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harps, pipes, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now, at this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that whoever hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold that you have set up, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace." Yes. There are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these three men were brought before the king. And the king said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up?" Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I've made, very good. But if you do not fall down and worship, you will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the god we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Then King Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing fire. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these three men, firmly bound, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement. He asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we had bound and thrown into the blazing fire?" They replied, "Well, certainly, O king." And he said, "Well, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Then King Nebuchadnezzar approached the opening to the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies,
nor was the hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then King Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that the peoples, nations, and men of any language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and the house would be turned into a house of rubble. For no other god can save in this way. Then King Nebuchadnezzar promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs! How mighty his wonders! His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded all the wise men of Babylon to be brought before me to interpret the dream. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too difficult for you. Here's my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong until its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. It had beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beast of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He said, cut down the tree and destroy it. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal. Let him live among the plants of the earth, and let his body be drenched with the dew of heaven until seven times pass by for him. The holy ones announced the message and the verdict that the Most High God has decreed. Because God gives the kingdoms to anyone, even the lowliest of man. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means. For none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you.
Then Belteshazzar, also called Daniel, was greatly perplexed for a time. The king said to Daniel, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong with its top touching the sky, visible to the ends of the earth, having beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, giving shelter to the beast of the field and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air? You, O king, are that tree.
you become great and strong, and your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to the distant parts of the earth. See, you, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven until seven times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree that the Most High God has issued against my lord, the king. You will be driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. Your body will be drenched with the dew of heaven, and you will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. Now, the command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots in the ground means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, is this not the great Babylon I have built by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven saying, this is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. Your body will be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about King Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven, until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High God. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand and say to him, what have you done? At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the Lord of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. King Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. Now, while the king was drinking wine, he gave orders. Bring in the gold and silver goblets that my father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the gold and silver goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank wine from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, The fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote in the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote, and he became so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. Then the king called out to the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners to be brought, and he said to these wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple, have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in. But they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So the king became even more terrified, and his face grew more pale. His nobles were baffled. Now the queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. "O king, live forever. Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and outstanding wisdom like that of the gods. This man, Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and also the ability to explain riddles and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel. Let's see what the writing means." So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father the king had brought from Judah? I've heard that the spirit of the holy gods is in you and that you have insight and intelligence and outstanding wisdom." "The wise men of my kingdom are brought in to read this writing and tell me what it means, but they cannot interpret it. Now, I understand that you have the ability to interpret dreams and solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple, have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means." "O king, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 times passed by for him until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines drank wine from them. As you drank the wine, you praised the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone that cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is the inscription that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Apharsin. This is what these words mean. Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Apharsin, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then, at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple, a gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain. And Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. Now, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. Now, the satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Well, at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel. Unless it has something to do with the law of his God." Then the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said to him, "O king, live forever." The royal administrators, governors, and advisors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, king, issue the decree and put it in writing in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not issue a decree, O king, that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days except to you shall be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." "Well, Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah, whom you have put over the affairs of the province of Babylon, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day. Now, when the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel, and he made every effort until sundown to save him. But then the men went as a group to the king again and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned home to his palace, and he spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. Now, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried towards the lion's den. When he came near the mouth of the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, for I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed, and he gave orders to have Daniel lifted out of the lion's den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Then the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must serve and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So,
Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I remember when I first read the stories of Daniel, I was struck by God's sovereignty. Wow, he's in control of people who don't know him. World leaders. He lifts up and he puts down. Something to kind of take to heart in our day and age. We're kind of in Daniel's situation. I've been doing this. This is my 20th year just presenting the scripture. I go to all kinds of different denominations, and I'm watching the church change dramatically. The hostility of our culture towards those who believe is being turned up. We're starting to experience just a little bit of what people like us, believers, experience all around the world. I don't think it's going to get better. I'm watching some churches turn away from being associated with God's word. A pretty prominent pastor a little while ago told us that, did a whole series about preaching about how he thought the Old Testament should be unhitched. We should just unhitch ourselves from it because it's problematic for evangelism. It's getting in his way of being able to offer Christ to people because he has to explain God. And so he thought we should just not teach or preach out of that. There are churches out there who will not actually preach anything in the Gospels. They'll just teach Paul's writing or one of the biblical writers. They just don't understand God's word at all. But they're gradually, quicker and quicker now, just moving away from God's word. So it's a different time for us, a different texture. We're in a hostile environment, similar to Daniel's, where now it actually cost us something to say, I believe this. But this is the key time. This is the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left. This is when we're supposed to shine our brightest. This is why you've been to every Bible study, you've done every devotional. This is for such a time as this, we're supposed to step up and still hold out the word of life. And so that's why I'm so encouraged to be back here 20 years later and see the faithfulness of your leaders here. It's incredibly encouraging. But I don't think it's going to get easier for believers. And that's why this is so relative. I think the series is so relative because I think we underestimate what we're facing ahead of us. And Daniel's a great example and his friends of how to stand firm with that. Our ministry is called Acts of the Word. And the whole idea is that we would spur people through God's word to actually act on the words they hear, to actually do the word. We want God's grace to flow through you so that you're a blessing to other people God's trying to reach. We partner with an organization called Food for the Hungry. They're an amazing relief organization. They transform villages from the ground up and make them self-sufficient. And build the next generation of the church, one village at a time. Takes them about 4 years on the low end, 7 or 8 years on the high end to do it. I just went to Guatemala a couple months ago and visited Lucas, who's one of the kids we sponsor as a family, and watched the whole process. I went to 3 different villages in different stages of this transformation and just blown away by their ability to do so much with so little. We recently moved as a family, and I discovered we had 3 crock pots, 2 of this, 5 of those, where you're like, what are we doing with this? You know, somewhere in an attic. And I felt so convicted because I thought, these guys just do so much with so little. It's inspiring, but they're thirsty for God's word. And there are some people here that aren't so thirsty, but people in other countries are very thirsty for God's word. So just a great focus. Anyway, you can sponsor a child. It's $38 a month. Every time I speak God's word, I give people the opportunity to do this. And I think over about 10,000 kids in 20 years, we've changed their lives and their family's life. but that $38 is more than they see as a family every month. So it gives them clean water, medical care, and the ability to keep their kids in school, teaches them how to farm crops, and makes them self-sufficient. So please consider doing that. There's some picture folders there. Pick one up and just fill out a form that's in the back there. And it takes about 2 weeks. You'll be able to start corresponding with your child. But they're going to read everything you send them. So you've got a great opportunity to disciple somebody who's going to listen very closely to everything you send them, every word you write. Use this inspiration from God's word to bear fruit. When we're on the other side, we're in God's eternal kingdom. We want to look back at times we heard his word and know that his spirit moved us to act on it. That's why you're blessed to be able to hear God's word, because his love wants to reach out, and he has more people to touch and more needs to fill and more grace to pour out. So thank you. I've got a ton of resources available electronically online. They're all for free. There's some brochures back there at the table. You can pick one of those up and fill it out, and you've got your email on it. We'll be able to send you a link to that, or you can just sign up for our newsletter with your email on the table there. Those are all available. I have about 400 hours worth of things. I think that the ESV is on there, the audio, and then several videos of my doing what we just experienced. So thanks so much. I can't tell you how encouraging it is to be able to watch God move over and over again and provide and lead and sustain each and every one of us. It's just so encouraging. And that's why, knowing all of the things you've been through, knowing all the things I've been through to get here, I think, wow, I praise God, because I know it wasn't easy. You know, I know God's brought us through a few furnaces. We've been in the lion's den a few times. We're living these stories out. But when you look next to you and there's Shadrach or Meshach or Daniel, you can get encouraged, because you realize, oh, okay, God's going to rescue me from this, because there's Daniel over there. There's somebody he just saved, and something he just did for somebody else, and how he just sustained that person. So it's incredibly encouraging. So thank you. Please pray. If you pick up one of our brochures, put it in your Bible, or put it on a magnet on your refrigerator, just as a reminder to pray for God's word, particularly here in America. Pray that leaders, pastors, will be bold in proclaiming God's word and not be shrinking back and denying God's word. So just remember to pray for that. So thank you. Appreciate it. I'll be back here. Thank you.